Welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, I want to talk a little bit about the Timberwolves draft philosophy, what a couple other mock drafts out there are saying about the Wolves. What might they do in this draft? What's their focus going to be? And then a couple more Timberwolves draft profiles as we continue the Locked On Wolves draft board. We're just a week out from the draft. It's all things draft today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Wolves. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today, Locked On is partnering with Arcade 1UP to give away three free NBA Jam Shaq machines. Stay tuned for later in the show to learn how to enter to win one of those NBA Jam Shaq machines. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today on the show, I want to talk more draft. We'll do a couple more players as part of the Locked On Wolves draft big board series. But I also want to talk a little bit about the overarching philosophy in the draft in light of a couple of articles and mock drafts that have come out. And what will the focus of the Wolves, also in light of my big board to this point and why it's been arranged the way that it has been. I think it's time to revisit that conversation from a couple of weeks ago. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. So I covered this a few weeks ago. I talked about what I think the Wolves' philosophy should be heading into the draft. Now, it's a little bit hard to tell because, well, it always is. And also, Tim Connelly now runs the front office. He's brand new to the Timberwolves. He's obviously got a decade worth of track record, basically, in Denver and drafted really, really well there. The Wolves have four picks this year. Three are in the second round, though. So are they going to – I mean, they could do anything, right? They could trade up. They could trade back. They could trade out. They most likely will stand pat and select somebody at number 19 in the first round, and the second round will be some mix of all of the above. But what's the philosophy? What position are they targeting? It's the old best available versus draft for need thing. And I was asked this actually, it was on the Locked On Minnesota show with Ron Johnson and Sam Ekstrom. I believe it was Wednesday's show. And I basically was asked that question. I said, well, hey, if you're drafting at number 19, it's kind of, you can go either or, right? You could just take the best player on your board, or if you're drafting at that part of the draft, you're likely mostly considering need anyway, because it means you're a playoff team. You're not necessarily taking a swing for the fences. Now you can. The Nuggets were already really good when they drafted Michael Porter Jr., had injury concerns at like 16 or whenever they drafted him. That was Tim Connelly. So, and Jaden McDaniels, I mean, even though the Wolves were in a playoff team, that was somewhat of a swing because he was a lottery talent that people worried about how would he apply himself immediately in the NBA. Would his temperament be good enough? Would he be able to guard in an NBA defense after playing mostly zone at Washington? Somewhat of a swing with Jaden McDaniels. So it's either you take a guy, we'll talk about one today, somebody who's probably going to go top 10, but I didn't have him higher on my Wolves board because I don't think he fits right away. I think he's a long-term play where he could be a star someday, but I worry about what his role would be from day one with a team like the Wolves. Or you just take the player that fits what you need on your roster the most. And that's the approach that I've taken. And that's why we've talked about a lot of forwards and wings that are versatile, switchable defensively, in most cases can shoot the three or at least have some offensive upside. And obviously, if you're in the top 15 on a big board, you should be able to be somewhat of a two-way player in any draft with any sort of depth. The other thing that made me want to talk about this a little bit was Bleacher Report had an article about one hole that every team can fill in 2022 free agency, which is obviously kind of a whatever question, right? Like, obviously, every team's going to try and fill a hole in free agency. This is by Andy Bailey, who does a good job over at Bleacher Report. But for the Wolves, he put wing depth as what they could fill in free agency. And he basically says, hey, the Wolves need to find a better fit than Malik Beasley at the 2/3 because Jaden McDaniels could play the 3 and 4. You've still got Vando at the 4. Towns and Nas are interchangeable at the 4 and 5. Point guard, at the moment, you've got D'Lo, Patrick Beverly, and Jordan McLaughlin, and Jalen Noel can play some point. Obviously, Ant runs a lot of offense. So his point is, the one name he mentions is Jeremy Lamb, who is an unrestricted free agent, could sign an exception, sign within one of the exceptions that the Wolves have available this offseason in terms of, because of course there's no real tangible, not much in the way of cap space. And I agree with that assessment. However, when you look at it in light of the draft, there's actually more of that depth in the draft than there is of of like, say, another big man, somebody that could add some rebounding and toughness. And we'll talk about this a little bit more today. It's part of my reason why we haven't talked about some of the bigs in this draft yet, because there's just more wings that are NBA caliber, NBA ready. And the players I've talked about to this point would be guys that either fall all the way to 19 or you're trading up to go get. The Wolves aren't going to trade up to go get a center in this year's draft, because what's the ceiling on what a center could do with the Minnesota Timberwolves? It's 7, 8, 12 minutes per game. You know, I mean, go back and look at Naz Reid's game log. When Karl-Anthony Towns was healthy and not in foul trouble, Naz Reid didn't play very much. Now, of course, Cat gets into foul trouble, and, you know, more recently he's missed a few games here and there. And but like, you get to the playoffs eventually too, and your backup center is going to play 8 minutes a game. In the regular season, I guess you might get 14 to 16 minutes a game, but it's just not the best allocation of assets. When you can find a pick and roll big, you can find a rim running big with athleticism on the trade market or perhaps in free agency. And I think there's more of those guys than there are truly like two-way wings with a little bit of upside that you're going to find. Jeremy Lamb's good and he'd be a good addition, but you know, some of the guys we already talked about, Ochai Agbaji is one that I really like. Obviously, you look more at the 3-4 type role. Tari Eason, we talked about on Wednesday's show. There's a lot of these guys that you could go up and get or could potentially fall to 19 that fit the Wolves extremely well in the draft. And I think that's a better opportunity, because otherwise, what are you doing with 19? I mean, you could take Mark Williams. We'll talk about him eventually. He would be Towns' backup, right? You're probably not going to play him with Towns. And also, there's less lead guards. I mean, there's Ty Washington. There's a couple other guys who could be available around that range or later. But are you going to plug and play a rookie point guard with the team that wants to be a 4 or 5 seed next year? I know Philadelphia did it with Tyrese Maxey a couple years ago, basically. But that's not usually how you operate. And Denver, second round a few years ago, drafted Monty Morris. He eventually became their starter, but he was a backup early on. I mean, Tim Connelly didn't draft him to plug and play him with Nikola Jokic and become the one seed in the West. It happened eventually. I just think there's less variance if you're picking these guys that are multiple position wing slash forwards, 2s, 3s, 4s, and there's a lot more of them available in this draft. Go get that player in the middle of the first round, whether it's at 19 or you trade up slightly, and fill your, you know, if you trade D'Lo, find a point guard in free agency or the trade market, find another backup center if you need one, even though you have Naz Reid. I'm a little still dubious. That's we'll talk a little bit more about this when I get to the next player in my big board. My philosophy on the Timberwolves seeking rebounding and shot blocking. But I don't necessarily agree that with the perspective of fine size in the draft and wing depth on the free agent market. I think it should be flipped because I just think it's better asset allocation. And in terms of in this draft specifically, also, because there's a ton of these guys who are positionally versatile that you can draft in the middle of the first round. And that's the route I would go. All right. So speaking of, I want to get to a couple of players that are much higher on other boards and going much higher in mock drafts that I had slide on my board because of the fit with the Wolves, but I think are important to know about because they could fit, and if they fall or if the Wolves were to trade up or if Tim Connelly simply wants to take a swing, there's at least one of these guys that would be definitely considered a swing. So I want to talk about each of those guys here in a second. First, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. You know how our friends are at Built. We're always coming out with amazing new flavors. I should say they're always coming out with amazing new flavors. Well, this time, Built has truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both Mud Pie Bar and Mud Pie Puff. By the way, I got mine in the mail yesterday. I have not tried them yet. I'm going to today, and I'm really excited. If you're not sure what Mud Pie tastes like, well, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down for this. The new Mud Pie Bar is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and cream crumble. You have to try Mud Pie as soon as possible, and you must hurry because the Mud Pie Bar and the Mud Pie Puff are only available for limited time. Visit Built.com to taste the deliciousness for yourself. And if you're not convinced, luckily we saved the best for last. It's actually good for you, like all Built Bars. Seriously, all Built products are low calorie, high protein, and low sugar. Mud Pie is packed with 16 grams of protein and only 150 calories and 8 grams of sugar. It's like your mom baked the most deliciously creamy chocolate mud pie and wrapped it up just for you. What's great about Built is all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Mud Pie Built Bar and Built Puff. If you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. I do have an important favor to ask of you, the listener. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like yourself and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long at all, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. Take our audience survey. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thank you in advance for your help. All right, let's jump back into the Wolves big board. I won't run down the first 14 to this point. I did that on Wednesday's show briefly, so you can go back and listen to that. And we're obviously getting very close to where the Wolves will pick at number 19 or where they're scheduled to pick. Today, I want to talk 15 and 16. Number 15 is Jalen Duren, the big from Memphis. He's 6'11 with a massive 7'5 wingspan. A lot of mock drafts have him going top 10 or right in that 10 to 12 range. I should mention there was a new Bleacher Report mock by Jonathan Wasserman who does a great job. And let me see where he had him. He had the Wolves actually taking, who I talked about extensively on Wednesday's show, Tari Eason, who's possibly my favorite potential Wolves draft pick in this draft. But he has Jalen Duren going ninth, for instance, to the Spurs. I have him on my Timberwolves board at 15. And I'll tell you why here in a second. The upside is very apparent. And what he could do immediately is also very apparent. He's a great shot blocker. Very, very good as a shot blocker. An awesome rim protector. He's also very good in pick and roll coverage. He'd be fantastic in drop coverage, which the Wolves didn't do much of early last season, but did more of as the year went on. They kind of mixed it into their typical blitz high wall pick and roll coverage, which is what, of course, Towns was much better at. Towns wasn't quite as good backpedaling. It wasn't quite as good for the feel of how far up he should play throughout the Ryan Saunders and David Vanterpool regime. Vanterpool, of course, running the defense and only running pretty much exclusively drop coverage. Towns was miserable in that coverage. Jalen Duren would actually fit that very well. But he also can switch. He's very switchable. He's mobile. He's agile in the open floor. I think he's got to certainly work on that because he played a lot of drop in college at Memphis, but could be very switchable. Like 6'11", seven with a 7'5 wingspan. So he's not going to really guard twos. You don't want him doing that, but he could be switchable on big wings and dangerous enough to be able to switch onto a guard. We saw early in Towns' career when he got switched onto like Steph Curry, that very famous clip where he pretty much locked down Steph Curry, young Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that sort of mobility is in there for Duren. But I don't think day one, he's going to be super switchable on the perimeter. What I was really surprised when I dug into him a little bit was I was expecting him to be a little bit stiffer in the open floor, stiffer with the ball in his hands, but he's not. He's agile, great in transition, very mobile, a legit rim runner with true length, can dunk over people, very active, very, very good on the glass, 16.7% rebound rate, which would have been like in the 20 to 30 range league-wide in the NBA last year. So would have been a plus round rebounder or was a plus rebounder in college for sure. And very good offensively on the glass, both crashing the glass and pick and roll. If he ends up rolling to the rim, but not getting the ball, he's going to still crash the glass. Active defensively. I have some concerns with his lack of boxing out at times, which could be an issue in the NBA if he relies on his size and athleticism. Obviously, if he snatches the ball with one hand, great. He's got a 7'5 wingspan, but there's a lot of athletes and guys with size in the NBA. So he's going to have to lock in a bit in terms of that technique on the glass. He didn't play that much pick and roll at Memphis, which is kind of crazy because he's so long and so athletic and has great feel. In the NBA, he's going to be a monster in the pick and roll. He reminds me maybe a little bit more of like a young DeAndre Jordan than he does even of like current Bam Adebayo. I don't think the offensive versatility is quite where Bam is, but young DeAndre Jordan's maybe a good comp for him in my mind. In an NBA offense, I think he could be very dynamic in the pick and roll. Now, there's no touch beyond like 6 feet. There's no offense. There's no jump shot. He shot like a dozen jumpers all year, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 16 jumpers, maybe something like that. Obviously no 3-point shot. He didn't attempt one. So he's very limited offensively. In fact, watching him reminds me a little bit of a much bigger and more sure-handed version of Jared Vanderbilt, and probably bouncier. I mean, the size certainly helps. And because of that, and better touch around the rim. Vando's fine at the rim, but he can't do anything beyond that. I think maybe Duren's got better touch around the rim. So better hands, better touch around the rim, and bigger. But the way that he plays, the way he could play in the dunker spot, which is probably what you do with him offensively if he's not involved in the pick and roll game, he'd have to be in the dunker spot. could be more dangerous, more dynamic than Vando. So I think he's a souped up version of Jared Vanderbilt. Now, I don't know if the defensive IQ and the consistent motor is there. I think that it is. It's hard to say for sure. But that to me is a decent comp. And I have concerns about, like, the free throw shooting was bad. It was like 55% or something in college. And that's worrisome. It related to him ever having touched beyond like 6 feet. But like Robert Williams, currently of the Celtics, played in the finals, he shoots like 73% of his shots are within 3 feet of the rim. So there's a model for that to work, obviously. And of course, teams with similar players have been, I mean, you look at the Heat and what they've done with bigs that are similar. And the ability to have a switchable, versatile big that can rim run offensively, guard multiple positions, and protect the rim defensively. I think Durin fits into that. And the other thing is, like, immediately his impact may not be, this is another reason why he's lower on my board, is with no touch offensive, or I should say no range offensively on his jumper, and some question marks about his switchability defensively, at least early. I don't know what his impact is from day one. I mean, Robert Williams is a good example with the Celtics, similar type player. He didn't do much at all early in his career. He barely played early in his career. He played 2 years at Texas A&M and then didn't play much his first two seasons, became a bench piece last year for Boston. And now, of course, he's a huge part of a finals run. He started all 61 games he played in the regular season for them. He's a massive part of their team that's now in the finals. So there could be a bit of a learning curve for Durin to really get into it at the NBA level. The other thing is because he's so locked in on protecting the rim, I worry about him ball watching. Seeing, you know, he's a very good weak side shot blocker, but is he watching the ball from the weak side, leaving his guy? In college, a lot of times those guards that are driving and are getting their shot blocked by somebody like a Jalen Durin, they're not seeing or they're not capable of making that extra pass to Durin's man who he's leaving. At the NBA level, that dump off pass is going to happen. You go up against Chris Paul and Steph Curry and Ricky Rubio, any point guard that has reasonable vision and capability. I mean, even a guy like Jordan McLaughlin, those dump off passes are something he's very good at because he does have the ability to finish at the rim, but he's smaller, right? And McLaughlin can avoid contact, tries to avoid contact when possible. Those dump off type passes to bigs that were on the weak side is something that's going to happen at the NBA level. And I worry a bit about Durin's, awareness in that regard. So I like his upside. I think sitting here right now, if you think Karl Anthony Towns could play some four, and Tim Connelly does, he said that publicly, that Cat can play some four, and we've seen him kind of do that. We've seen him play some with Nas. Then Durin could be a fit. I think of him again as a gigantic, higher upside, better, sure-handed version of Jared Vanderbilt with the ceiling of like prime DeAndre Jordan. That's really what I think he could be if he continues to add. You know, he's a little bit slender. He's got to continue to add some strength to his build. I just think he's more of an upside play, and if he's not going to slide to 19, but like if the value's there, I could see the Wolves. He's the type of swing that a guy like Tim Connelly could take. We've seen him do similar things in Denver. That to me is a possibility. I just don't love the fit for Minnesota for the reasons I've already stated, but I have him at 15 at the moment on my first version of the big board. That's Jalen Durin. All right, one more player to talk about today. We're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Arcade 1UP. As promised, I mentioned this earlier, NBA Jam is back. Boom shakalaka. We have big news. The one and the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with a, wait for it, Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court, set the ball on fire, and one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $3.99. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Lockdown listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockdown. Again, that's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockdown. You got till July 8th to enter to win. Just a couple of weeks to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. All right, we're going to close today's show by talking about player number 16 on my Lockdown Wolves big board, and that is Usman Jang, the forward out of Australia, or I should say playing in Australia for the Breakers this last year. He's 6'10" with an insane wingspan of, I think, a little over 7 feet. I wrote down 7'10". That's not true. I think it's 7'1". but Usman Jang is a tantalizing prospect who has recently kind of captivated the minds, I think, of many folks evaluating the draft, and he's continued to rocket up draft boards. I have him lower on my draft board. I mentioned the Wasserman mock draft over at Bleacher Report here a minute ago, so I'm going to pull up where he's got him going because that's the most recent mock. He's actually got him at 17, so lower, but you'll find him in the top 10 of some mock drafts right now because of the upside that he could provide. And so there's a chance he's on the board at 19. There's some, again, some similarities to Jaden McDaniels as a prospect. Now, McDaniels, by the time of the draft, was getting mocked more frequently towards the end of the lottery, late teens, but early on was thought of as an early lottery type pick. Usman Jang is, again, all about length and potential. Even as a prospect, I think there's some similarities to Jaden McDaniels. I think he's maybe a little bit more fluid, and that's where the upside comes from, is his motions are a little bit more fluid. The handle's better than Jaden McDaniels. He's actually got a really impressive handle for his size. He's a really enticing pick and roll type guy. He's more of a ball in his hands player than Jaden McDaniels is. The Wolves are trying to work on McDaniels' own shot creation and creation for others so that he could be an option as a playmaker. But Jang can do that already. He's not a good shooter, and that's my biggest problem, and probably the reason, certainly the reason why he slid further on my board is he shot 21% from three. The mechanics actually aren't bad. They're a little bit slow, I guess, and maybe his release point's a little bit low, but again, he's 6'10 with a wingspan over 7 feet. So, you know, the release point isn't as big of a concern for me. It's more the speed of him being able to release the shot. So that's the biggest negative, but the positives are all about the size, the length, the defensive versatility, the ability to guard multiple positions. And how many times have we talked about a prospect on the show that has those things that I really, really like? I think that that is something he can do from day one. I think that the IQ is there on both ends of the floor. The passing IQ is obviously very good. You can almost see him when you watch him processing what the next move is, but like not in a bad way, in a good way. Like he knows like, okay, I could make this pass, but this pass is maybe a little bit of a higher, you know, we're more likely to make this pass and have a successful open three than to force this pass down low. He doesn't always make the easy pass. And that can be said of any, you know, really young player coming into the NBA who likes to pass the ball. And the fact that he can make the flashy passes and has the ability to find those passes to seek out those teammates is really good. In fact, offensively, he actually reminds me, this is a weird comp maybe, but he reminds me of Alexei Pokusevski, of course, from a couple of years ago, the legit 7-footer for the Thunder who came from overseas. Offensively, he reminds me of Poku, somebody who's operates maybe a little bit more slowly, but can speed up, has the length to make shots from weird angles, has really good touch in close, but also kind of tries to avoid contact, and the physicality is not quite there. He's obviously got to add weight. He's not quite as tall as Poku. And defensively, it's not the same, and we'll get to that in a second. But the touch from floater range is incredible. And that's one of the more appealing things is a guy with his size, if he gets past the primary defender, he can get his head and shoulders past. The floater game is fantastic. He only attempted like 12 shots at the rim this year. Because he doesn't like to get all the way to the rim. He tries to avoid contact. So he's trying to finish in the mid-range. He's trying to finish with floaters and creative, crafty shot attempts in that, like, you know, 6 to 12 foot range. And the touch there is really good, which encourages me, related to his outside shot, that that could develop further. There's some similarities. I'm just going to throw another name out there of a far more athletic and a little bit bigger version of Leandro Balmaro, where he's already very good defensively. That's clear in the international game. He's a very good passer. Will the jumper come along, and will he be able to withstand the physicality of the NBA game? Now, he's more athletic and longer, so obviously the upside is greater than Balmaro. You know, Balmaro's ceiling is probably starter type level at the NBA, maybe, whereas Jang could be a superstar. I mean, that the upside's legit there for him to be a complete, well-rounded superstar. He's absolutely an upside play. But the jumper, the overall physicality, and also he's a good on-ball defender, but off-ball, he got caught ball-watching quite a bit this last year. Will he gamble too much? Will he just try and get out in transition? What does the off-ball defense look like? We've seen Ant struggle with that his first 2 years in the league, where he'll get a steal a game on a gamble, but how many times is he getting caught out of position? He improved his second year, but that's still, I mean, Ant's very good on the ball now. And but off ball, the ball watching is still a problem, and I worry about that with young guys like Usman Dang as well. But again, the touch is encouraging, the size, the length, you can't teach that, the athleticism. To see somebody of his size and length, frankly, with his wingspan, handling the ball the way he does and defending the way he does, positional versatility again is really exciting to watch. And actually, I mentioned this for Durin last for at number 15, but Jiang is probably a better fit in terms of an upside play. So if Tim Connolly wants to swing for the fences in this year's draft and he wants to trade up a few spots, I'd be really surprised if he did, but this is a guy to watch just because of what the upside is. And from day one, he can defend. I'm worried about the other stuff because I don't think he helps at all offensively, because he can't shoot. The Wolves don't need another playmaker. But if you're looking for a superstar upside in this range in the draft, this is the guy. So if Tim Connolly wants to take one of his swings, this would be the player you do that with. Not my approach, not what I would do, because you've got Anthony Edwards, you've got Karl-Anthony Towns, you've got decent depth at point guard at the moment. I think you go with one of these 3-and-D guys that I've already talked about that are on my board, and that's why I let Jiang slide a little bit further down. But if Connolly wants to take a swing, this could be your guy. Again, an upside play, massive upside as a massive ball handler, really. But he's not going to help the Timberwolves immediately on the offensive end of the floor. And you'd have to really be bought in about him being a lockdown defender and be convinced you can work with him on the off-ball defense a little bit to make him a viable rotation piece for the Wolves immediately. And I'm a little bit dubious that could happen. So that's why I have him at 16. But the upside is certainly undeniable. All right, we're closing in now. We're a week out from the draft. We're going to get to the rest of the big board on Friday's show. Then next week we'll do, because I'm not going to go much past, I'll do a little bit past 19, I guess, because obviously the Wolves draft at 19. So players that are just past that on my board could certainly go there. And then we'll talk about some rumors as we head into next year's draft or next week's draft. There's been a couple of big trades this week. Jamichael Green, interestingly, going to the Thunder. He's a past trade target of the Wolves. Perhaps there's something there. If Oklahoma City's trying to flip him for additional picks or whatever that might look like. But there's plenty to talk about as we get into the draft. We're excited about the Lockdown live mock draft or live draft coverage next Thursday as well. So more to come on that too. All right, that's all we have for today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and you can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you like to listen, you can find it. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. I mentioned the Locked On NBA mock draft, where I actually mentioned the live show last week. You can also check out the mock draft. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA mock draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The first picks went live today on Thursday. You can find that. Again, search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. The second episode will include yours truly, or I guess I'm probably the third episode if we're picking at 19. At any rate, find out who I pick here soon. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen when you're done with this podcast here today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. We'll catch you next time.